This morning here in the East Side building, and happy to be able to come to you with a Bible study in this online way tonight. One of the things when we think about our Heavenly Father is what a tremendous giver He is, and for those of us who are His children, how much He loves to give to us. He is truly a loving Father, loves to provide what we need, loves to provide that which is good for us and will help us, just like a lot of good dads on this earth do. So he's a father who delights in giving his children good things. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about that, about how we can ask God for things and should ask Him for things with boldness because He wants to give things to us. And so Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him?" So the nature of God is this loving Heavenly Father. And if we have fathers among us who are loving fathers, they like to give to their children, and they'll give them many times what they ask for and certainly what's good for them. And if we who are stained by sin and less than perfect can give good gifts to our children and want to do that, certainly our Heavenly Father, who is perfect, not stained by sin, and the very definition of love, can give and will give good gifts. That's what Jesus says, good things to those who ask Him. It's always interested me that a lot of the teaching that Jesus does, He does more than once and on more than one occasion. In fact, at times you'll see Him using virtually the same words to teach the same lesson in a different place at a different time in His ministry. That's encouraging to me as a preacher. I realize that it's okay once in a while to repeat the same sermon. You know, Jesus did that, and he found it to be necessary and helpful. And obviously, if it's teaching a good lesson, it is. So I direct your attention then to Luke chapter 11. A different context, a different place and time, I believe, if you follow the chronology of Luke. But the same point is made in almost the same words, a little bit of difference. But in Luke 11 and verse 10, Jesus, again, He's teaching about prayer in this context. He says, "Everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, to him who knocks it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish?" And those are the same questions that He asked in the Sermon on the Mount. In this text, He adds one more question. He says, "If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" And obviously, no right-minded, right-thinking father would do that. But then He says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" So if you're paying attention, there's quite a difference at the end of this teaching. In the teaching in Matthew 7, Jesus said, if you can give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? But here He says, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of Him? Bible students and scholars have studied that difference for quite some time, and most of them come to the conclusion that, well, in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, Jesus is being sort of general, you know, just good things. God's going to give all kinds of different good things. And then when you come to Luke 11, He just is specifying one particular thing that God will give, and that is the Holy Spirit. And while that is a possibility, I suppose, the more I think about it, the more I think that maybe the opposite is true. That in Matthew 7, Jesus is saying, God will give bunches of different good things to you who ask Him, because He loves you as a father. But when He says in the Luke account on that occasion that the Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask, well, who is the Holy Spirit? You know, the Holy Spirit's not just a gift among many gifts. It seems to me, and what we're going to look at tonight from Scripture, is that the Holy Spirit is the giver of gifts. And so, the Matthew 7 account is something like, well, you ask God for money, and you get money. You ask God for strength, and you get strength. You ask God for, you know, food, and you get food. But the Luke account, it's more like you ask God for money, and He gives you the bank. He gives you the source from which the gift comes. You ask God for food, and He gives you the grocery store. He gives you the source from which the gift comes. And when you look at it that way, and that's really the promise, He gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. He gives the giver of gifts to those who ask Him. The Holy Spirit is Himself a gift. That's certainly indicated in Jesus' statement in Luke 11. You can see it a number of other places and in a number of different ways He's a gift, the number of different ways He's a gift in several scriptures. But right now we'll just look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. But the apostle says, we are His witnesses, talking about Jesus Christ. We are witnesses to these things, as also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey Him. God has given the Holy Spirit to those who obey. The Holy Spirit is the gift that God gives, which is what Jesus promised God would give if we ask. When we think about the Holy Spirit being given us, there's a lot of different thoughts, different ideas. People try to wrestle with, how does that happen? Is it personal in some way? Is it through the Word in some way? Is it, you know, better felt than told, as some people would say? How does God do that? Well, one of the things that's very clear in Scripture is that the Holy Spirit is closely connected to God's Word. He is the bringer of God's Word. So to equate the gift of the Holy Spirit to God's Word is probably a bit of a stretch, but to understand that the Holy Spirit is the chief giver of the Word of God, I think is not a stretch at all. In fact, what the Bible teaches in many, many places. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul says that we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So as an inspired man, Paul had received the miraculous measure of revelation from the Holy Spirit, and that was given so that, he says, we might know the things that have freely been given us by God. So the Holy Spirit informs us by the gift of the Holy Spirit, Paul then is saying. The Holy Spirit has informed inspired men, and they informed us, of all of the things that God has given us. So He tells us about the things that God has freely given us. So you see the connection between, here's something that we're given, someone that we're given, who in giving Him, God also gave us information about everything else He's given. Plainly, that's being said in that text. And you go on, and Paul says, these things we speak, that is, the things that the Spirit has taught us, that we've been freely given by God, these things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So here's an inspired person telling us that it's through and by the Holy Spirit, who is revealing to inspired men like apostles and prophets of Christ, who revealed that to them, then those words are given to him, which then he shares with us, which he speaks to us. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, Peter's talking about Old Testament prophecies. Old Testament prophets, he said, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So the gospel is preached, the good news of the gospel, those things freely given to us by God. How does that come? How does that information come? Well, it came, again, through inspired men who were speaking by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. In fact, prophecy all throughout Scripture came, of course, through the Holy Spirit. All of the words that God has shared with mankind through His prophets from the beginning, through the New Testament age, through the first century, all of those prophecies have come by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, you have Peter's plea that we have, or explanation that we have, this prophetic word that is confirmed. And then he says in verse 21 that prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So it's no wonder in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 that Paul says about the word that is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. The word is the Spirit's weapon that we've been given to fight our battle with Satan. We are born again through the word, through the truth that's given through the Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Peter says, since you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Well, how can we obey the truth through the Spirit? See, that because the gift of truth came through the Spirit by inspiration, by revelation inspiration. So we come to know the truth through the Spirit. We hear, believe it, and obey it. Now it's no wonder he says, you purify your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God. Oh, how did we get the Word of God? Through the Spirit. And that enabled us to be regenerated and born again. So there's no doubt, Scripture plainly teaches that God gives His children the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is also the giver of God's Word, which helps us become God's children and guides us as God's children and informs us as to all the other gifts that God gives us as God's children. We've seen all of that. And without getting too deep into it, we should say here that the Spirit in the New Testament age, in the first century, gave apostles and prophets and other people at times special miraculous gifts to confirm the word which was given. A number of passages talk about that. Jesus promised his apostles that at the end of Mark chapter 16. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, the writer asks, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts that the Holy Spirit gave. What did they do? These miracles and signs and wonders. They confirmed the word as being from God, as being true, as being reliable. So in the New Testament, you have record, of course, of the Holy Spirit giving those miraculous abilities to people who also had the Word of God to confirm that they had the Word of God. And that's part of the gift that God has given. The Holy Spirit, the giver of the Word, and the giver of confirmation of the Word. That's what you see clearly in these passages. But I want to go on with you and think about what else does the Holy Spirit give? He's, you know, we're told, Jesus says, God will give you the Holy Spirit. Well, God will give you the giver. What else does the giver give us? The Scripture is just replete with descriptions of that which the Spirit gives. And we're not going to even have close to time to look at any and all of those things tonight. But I want to impress on your mind, really this evening in this study, how much God loves us and what He has given us by giving us His Spirit. Like I said, it's like asking for a little money and being given the bank. He's just lavished us with His power and love by giving us the Spirit. So, He's given us through the Spirit. The Spirit gives assurance of salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, Paul says, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us as God, who has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." Guarantee that, in fact, we are saved. This concept is brought up numerous other times in Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. "You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who's the guarantee of our inheritance." Some of them might say, "Well, how does the Holy Spirit guarantee our inheritance?" Well, He guarantees our inheritance because God gave Him to us. And secondly, the Word that God gave through the Spirit assures us in so many ways of our inheritance. So multiple ways, really, that He is the guarantee of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit gives us the right to call God our Father. Again, here's something that Paul mentions in a couple of places, the book of Galatians and also in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. He says, "You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." And again, the Word of God comes into this. As we're led by the Spirit, we follow the Word, is what we're doing when we're led by the Spirit. And then the Spirit witnesses with our spirit, as we're being led by the Word, that we are truly children of God. We're following the will of our Father in our lives. And so the Spirit provides testimony with our spirit in that way, that we are children of God, and thus we have the right given by the Spirit now to call God Abba, Father. We can call upon Him as our Father. You know, people of the world, people who aren't children of God, they haven't been given that right. The children of God have. By whom? By the Spirit. What a great gift. What a great gift. We have assistance in prayer by the Holy Spirit. And go on in Romans chapter 8. And Paul says clearly in verse 26 that the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. "For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows the mind of this, what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." All of us who've prayed to God, who've approached God as our Father in time of need, particularly in time of stress, asking for things that really we don't even know what we need, and we sure don't know how to ask sometimes for what we need. God knows what's in our hearts through the Spirit. The Spirit is in us, and He knows what's going on in us. As we pray to God, the indication in this passage is He makes intercession for us. He's helping us communicate to God. What a great promise that is. When we pray, we try to pray reverentially, don't we? We try to be reverent when we pray. We pray, we try to be faithful and in faith when we pray, believing that God can answer. When we pray, we approach Him to the best of our ability with clean hands. We want to live a righteous life and find forgiveness for things that would separate us from God. All of those things are true when we pray. But what a great gift it is to know then that when we pray, the Holy Spirit is helping us. God gave us the giver, the one who helps us in prayer. And I think Jude may be alluding to that as he ends his epistle, Jude verses 20 and 21. As he says, "You, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Praying in the Holy Spirit. I don't believe he's saying, you know, praying with some sort of miraculous tongue or something like that, but praying in the way that Paul's describing in Romans chapter 8, that we have been given the Spirit to help us in our prayers. And when we pray, as children of God, we are praying in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us assurance of salvation, the right to call God our Father, assistance in prayer. He gives us love, and He gives us hope. You say, well, how does he give us love? In what way does He do that? Well, Paul says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I don't think a statement could be clearer, could it? That God's love is poured out into us by agency of the Holy Spirit who Himself was given to us. So here, the Holy Spirit is pouring God's love out into us. He Himself is a gift, and He's sharing with us the gift of God's love. And you say, well, how does He do that? Most obviously, through the Word of God, which is the explanation of the love of God. Somebody might say, well, there are other ways that He does that. I'm not sure, but I know He does it that way. So again, the gift is the giver who gives yet the gift of love. We come to understand, what the love of God is because the Word of God explains it. In this very text, Paul will go on to say, God demonstrates His own love toward us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The only way we know about that is because the Word of God that was given us by the Holy Spirit. So God's love is in us and we understand it through the work of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 5, Paul says, through the Spirit we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Our faith is based on the Word of God. Our hope is based on the Word of God. It is the Spirit who has accomplished all of that for us and in us. In Romans 15 and verse 13, Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we think about the hope that we have, the Spirit enables this hope, gives us this hope in a couple of different ways for sure. One, as we've already said, is through the Word. Another is through His part in raising the dead. Paul in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 puts it this way. He says, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, see that? The Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So our hope, of life after this life, our hope of a resurrection is based on the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It is God's Spirit, God, the one who raised Jesus from the dead, who He has given us. We can, through that power, that amazing power of God, be raised from the dead as well. That's the connection that Paul makes clearly in Romans 8 and verse 11. So we have love, the story of the gospel, the explanation of God's love, poured out into us. We have hope of salvation, hope of eternal life, hope of life after this life, all of that by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's part of the gospel story, but also that we know is true because Christ was raised from the dead. And that's the Spirit that God has given us. That's a powerful, powerful gift. The Holy Spirit is the giver of spiritual fruit. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Surely the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit that comes from the Spirit, the fruit that is characterized by true spirituality and a connection with God. Fruit of any tree comes from that tree, right? The fruit of the Spirit comes from the Spirit. And it is the Spirit that guides us, as Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23 says, into love, joy, peace, long-suffering, righteousness, truth, these things. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. If we live that kind of life, we can live that kind of life. We're enabled to because of the Holy Spirit. If it weren't for the Holy Spirit and who He is, what He's done for us, that life would be foreign to us. But it's the fruit that He gives, that He produces in us. He gives us strength. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Paul actually prays on behalf of the Ephesians here that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. The strength that God gives us is promised us through His Spirit. It's a gift that comes to us, but through His Spirit in the inner man. He gives us life. And again, the life is part of the Word of Jesus. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." Spirit gives life. The words, they are spirit and they are life. So, as I said, this kind of just touches the hem of the garment of this concept. But as I back off from it and look at it as a whole, what I want those who are studying with me tonight to really appreciate is what God has given us in giving us His Holy Spirit. It really inculcates much, if not all, that He's given us as His children. The Holy Spirit is the giver of so many aspects of our lives in Christ. So here's the thing. A lot of folks among God's people, a lot of us, have become rather wary of even thinking about the Holy Spirit, let alone talking about the Holy Spirit, because of the way the idea of the Holy Spirit has been abused in denominationalism and the surely misguided ideas that people have about the Holy Spirit in the world. And we don't want to give anybody the idea that, you know, we have those misguided ideas about the Holy Spirit. So we shy away from saying anything about Him at all. And I think that's a grave error. I believe that we have been promised something here by God, by Jesus Himself, that's important for us to understand. We've been promised someone. We've been promised the Holy Spirit. And through Him, we've been promised a lot of other things that He gives. And our full appreciation of who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, of how the Holy Spirit is blessing us, our understanding of that, something we can't shy away from, something that we can't avoid, we shouldn't avoid. We should try to get our minds around it so that we can fully appreciate what God has done for us. And in appreciating that, we begin to understand a little bit about who we are in this world and why God wants us to live the way we do and how we can live the way He wants us to. All of which gets back to the fact that He's given us the Holy Spirit. So I want to end with 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Because the Holy Spirit has been given us, because He dwells in our bodies, we are constantly, if we understand that, if we believe it, if we focus on it, we are constantly reminded that we do not belong to ourselves. We belong to God. He purchased us. He owns us. We are to be holy, therefore, because His Spirit resides within us. Here's the very reason, or a key reason, for living a holy life, for keeping ourselves pure. If we have no understanding that God has given us His Holy Spirit, who in some way or another is dwelling in us, in our bodies, we have no understanding of why we're to live like God wants us to live, why we're to be what God wants us to be. We don't get that we're a temple of the Holy Spirit if we don't get that we have been given the Spirit. So these truths are really critical for us as Christians as a way of thinking about our relationship with God and how God is helping us as His children. Thank you for studying along with me tonight, and I hope that our study will really help you in the ways that we've described. If you're not familiar with the Eastside Church of Christ, we invite you to go to our website, eastside-church.org.